WFIU is proud to welcome Sylvia McNair, internationally renowned vocalist, to the WFIU studios. McNair was an announcer at WFIU during her student years at the IU Jacobs School of Music and has since gone on to great things in the world of classical music and popular song. WFIU's George Walker spoke with her about many of her reminiscences of working at WFIU, as well as encounters with famous musicians like Shirley Verrett and Leonard Bernstein. As a thank you to those of you who have already pledged in this Fund Drive 2010, we're including this audio. And if you have yet to make a contribution, we hope that you will consider a donation to WFIU. You can find us on the web and make a donation at WFIU.org. And thank you.
I'm George Walker, and with me is Sylvia McNair. Sylvia and I, in a studio just around the corner, spent a number of afternoons here on WFIU superintending the efforts of longtime IU opera director Ross Allen. Yes, indeed.
Didn't we just?
Indeed. And it was always sort of a tense moment about 15 minutes before the show. You began to wonder, is this going to be the one that Ross, who has never missed, is going to miss? And this large man would arrive with a stack of records so tall that sometimes he had them tucked under his chin, and he was not a short person, and sort of set them down and start shuffling through them and ask, Do we have a few minutes? He would depart and then come back and start shuffling through these things and then put together amazing shows for the listeners here on WFIU.
Ross Allen was brilliant, but I do think he decided what he was going to do as the mic was opening.
I've always thought that perhaps the ideas came to him during brunch, but perhaps you're right about that.
Well, brunch usually landed on his tie. Remember that, George?
Oh, there were those little problems. I remember a lovely afternoon at his apartment. That was at a time when he had moved into an apartment, and he said that that the rug, the pile, was so thick that instead of a vacuum cleaner, they gave him a garden rake to sort of work on it. And he had china. It was Balik china. And we were having tea. And I looked and discovered that the price tag was still on it. So I don't know that he did this very often.
Oh, dear. What an amazing creature. Character, I guess you'd say. And, you know, I've gone a lot of places in the world to sing. And there are so many singers out in the world who came through Indiana University and the opera department. And with a single glance or the click of a finger or one phrase of a sentence, we can instantly identify each other as IU Music School grads because of our years of being taught and directed by Ross Allen.
Oh, boy. So WFIU really has had support for opera over the years with Ross Allen, with the Sunday program for years and years and years. It was one of those things where actually at one point after having worked as a grad student, I left town and came back and happened to come back on a Sunday. And as I was driving in, son of a gun, there was Sunday Opera in its 20th or 30th or how many years.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about things going on in opera and thinking about support for opera, which has really been a very live thing on WFIU, at times when a lot of stations really regard especially full opera broadcasts as just audience killers, we've actually found people in our audience who say that they think that it's a unique part of WFIU's offering and it's something that they'd like to call and support.
Mm, great. That's great news.
Surprise, huh?
I am surprised, actually, but good.
Well, why don't we tell them the phone numbers and give them a chance here?
1-800-662-3311.
That was a little quick. Could you, you know, a little more?
1-800.
That's a little too slow.
Okay, so the 1-800 is really easy to remember because we always are given 1-800. So you don't even have to remember the 1-800. But here you go. 662-3311. And I love it because you've got the 6-6 at the beginning, divide by 2, you get 3-3, And then 1-1 is half of 2. See, I have this thing with numbers. Now, I won't ever forget that because the 6s and the 3s are half, and then the 2 and the 1s are half. 3 half of 6, 1 half of 2. 6-6-2, 3-3-1-1.
1-800-662-3-3-1-1. I'm not going to – later we'll talk about 855-0811, but first I want to direct them also to the website, which is a lot of fun, and that's at wfiu.org. We've had really a little bad news from the world of opera in the last 2 weeks. Joan Sutherland a couple of weeks ago,
right.
And you were still in junior high, but when I first came to IU – it was a snowy night. I was sitting in my apartment as a grad student in the English department, and a friend called up and said, my roommate over here in the women's residence has a test tomorrow. Would you like to go to the IU auditorium? And I said, okay. I was up for a date. And so we stumbled in through the snow, and there was Joan Sutherland with Richard Bonning,
wow.
Student orchestra. And she was doing the Mad Song, and she was doing the Bell Song and things. And this very tall, very large woman, just with this beautiful,
miraculous voice. Miraculous voice. Once in a century kind of voice.
Yeah, and I think maybe we ought to share just a little bit of Joan Sutherland with our listeners, especially if we actually have a copy of the Joan Sutherland CD. Carefully squirreled it away.
Which I see lots of CD boxes being shuffled to find that.
Yeah. Now, I've got a number of choices here, and I'm kind of wondering about what you think might be the one piece that we'd kind of like to share with people.
Well, George, without a telescope, I can't see that.
And the print's kind of small
here. We're on
here.
Far sides of a room, and I...
Should we mention, by the way, that every person that calls gets to soak Peter Jacoby $10?
Good. I'm always for soaking music critics.
Have you ever had a music critic whom you felt actually was kind of out after you in some way?
Oh, goodness sakes, yes. You bet.
No kidding.
I can't see that box over there, George, but if you have something, say, from Lucia, do you have?
I'm kind of looking. I've got a Mad scene, but it goes on for just days, and the thought of her standing there
going mad for
blood,
days.
going mad just really is sort of upsetting. They actually started out with something from Ataxerxes, a piece called The Soldier Teared. And I'm presuming that they actually had a reason that they put this one in the collection, that it wasn't, you know, just the first thing that she ever had recorded. So I'm going to play this for listeners. And if you'd once again, run through, maybe without the math, the phone numbers.
1-800-662-3311 or 855-0811.
And on the web.
WFIU.org. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
An amazing voice, a miraculous voice, a once-in-a-century voice.
And it's great to be able to share that with people on a Saturday afternoon, isn't it?
Joan Sutherland. Rest in peace, dear Joan.
Yeah. Now, I mentioned that I had had a chance to see her at one point in her career. Did you ever get a chance to see her, Sylvia?
I did. Strangely enough... My very first manager in New York, right after I left school here in Bloomington, I was doing a performance at the Mostly Mozart Festival in New York, and an elderly lady came to my dressing room door, and she said, "Young lady, do you have a manager?" And I knew she was someone very important. I was sort of quaking in my shoes. I said, "No, ma'am, I don't." Her name was Ann Colbert. Ann Colbert ran a very successful management, artist management agency in New York for a long, long time. And Joan Sutherland was on that roster. So my very first manager in New York, I was on a roster that included Joan Sutherland and George Schulte and all kinds of Richard Bonning and Jean-Pierre Rampal and all these amazing people. I couldn't believe it. But because of my connection with Mrs. Colbert, I was able to attend one performance that Joan Sutherland sang at the San Francisco Opera. I think it was in the fall of 1984. It was a long time ago, but in that early middle 80s period when she was singing something at the San Francisco Opera, one of her many roles she was famous for from the Bel Canto opera repertoire, and I was just blown away. Got to meet her backstage, the whole thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
1-800-662-3311, 855-0811, WFIU.org. George Walker here with Sylvia McNair, former WFIU announcer, small-scale philanthropist, exercise guru, and expert in French diction. We're asking people to call and pledge their support for opera here during the afternoon. We have some thank yous during the fun drive. Legacy performances from the IU Jacobs School of Music. It's a 2-CD set with a pledge. And by the way, there's a book called Opera for All Seasons. And that's a big, heavy book with Sylvia, have you ever seen it?
Yeah, it's a coffee table book, I guess you would say.
It's a good-sized one.
It's quite heavy with lots of photographs and small articles about describing and documenting the history of the Indiana University Opera Theater.
Goes back a ways. I don't remember. Are you in it?
I go back a ways. And I am in it.
So that's one of the thank you gifts, and our phone volunteers can tell you a little bit more about that. 1-800-662-3311 or 855-0811, WFIU.org. From time to time, different opera companies present an opera that's very, very popular in terms of its comedy, and that's Johnny Skeeky. And in the middle of all the fun, all of a sudden, a beautiful aria breaks out. It's such a beautiful aria that it's been used as a champagne commercial. It's been used behind various ads. And with this particular aria, Sylvia, you actually got into the movies.
Oh, I wish. No, I just recorded this aria with my friend John Maucheri and the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra, and maybe it got used in a movie. I don't know. I'm certainly not seeing any royalties from it, though.
Well, it says always and forever, movies' greatest love songs. and there's a couple embracing with a biplane in the background and the
surf. Oh, that's me, George. That's me. No, it's not me.
1-800-662-3311, 855-0811. Remember, everyone does indeed love a lover, and everyone loves a pledger to public radio. WFIU.org. Music from Johnny Skeeky, sung by our guest, Sylvia McNair, from the CD Always and Forever Movies' Greatest Love Songs. You recorded that with John Maccieri.
A thousand years ago, George. A thousand years ago.
And the Hollywood
Bowl
Orchestra.
Since grown up.
Does anyone grow past O Mio Bambino Caro?
Well, I when I listen to that, I shudder because I wish I had grown into Puccini before I recorded that. But obviously, I didn't quite. In any case, it's a beautiful piece.
1-800-662-3311 or 855-0811. On the web at WFIU.org. Sylvia, one of the things that we're offering as a thank you during the WFIU Fund Drive is tickets to the Met Live in HD at the theaters in our area. It's being shown in several theaters. In Bloomington, it's Cinema East, and there's a group that gathers with their scores in hand on Saturdays, and also then there's the repeat on the Wednesdays. And one of the lovely things about opera in HD is you get close-ups and sometimes you get little secret jokes that only the cast knows.
I bet you have one of those you'd like to share with us.
share. And I'm Sonny as well.
Oh, it's getting deep.
Okay. They were showing a close-up of the people on stage for Johnny Skeeky, and this person is pretending to be dead, and the doctor is getting out his bag to examine this person. And for the people who were looking through an overhead camera, and I don't think even people with opera glasses in the top balcony in the Met could see this, when he opens his bag, the first thing he pulls out from his collection of medical paraphernalia was a banana.
Oh, great. Good.
And bear in mind that he's getting ready to examine supposedly an 80-year-old man. The next thing he pulled out was a speculum. Kind of an inside joke, but the sort of joke that you can get when you actually see
the
Met in
HD. When those cameras
are
on stage, they don't lie.
Got to be careful about things like that. We'd like to thank all of those people who've called and pledged during the WFIU Fund Drive. And we have a few more people that we'd like to say thank you to. Marks Papakian, thank you very, very much. R.J. Trubit, good to hear from you. And Doug and Sandra Tracy, moved from Central Michigan, where they were members of the public radio station there. It does get to be a habit, doesn't it, Doug and Sandra? Public radio is waiting when you move.
And I would like to second that from Doug and Sandra Tracy, because I travel all over the United States, and I'll tell you, to know that at 5 o'clock every afternoon I can hear my favorite All Things Considered or whatever your favorite shows happen to be, national public radio just moves with you, and I love that about it too. So thank you for your donation to WFIU.
One of the things that is always a delight at the IU Opera Theater is the opera choruses. And frequently, especially the male groups, get a shot at showcasing both their vocal and sometimes their theatrical talents with a good old-fashioned opera drinking song. So as we play one of those, perhaps people are actually hoisting something this afternoon. Might be hot tea, getting warm, a little cool out there, or perhaps coffee, or maybe something else that one of this group might be dealing with. While you're thinking about that, 1-800-662-3311 or 855-0811. Let's join the party.
George, you started to say something about opera singers that we've lost. Is that how you were going to segue into Shirley Verrett? Okay. Just wondered.
And that was from La Traviata by Giuseppe Verdi, Montserrat Caballé, the soprano. The tenor was Carlo Bergonzi, and that was a recording conducted by Georges Pret. Comes from a CD, by the way, called Great Drinking Songs from Opera. 1-800-662-3311, 855-0811, or WFIU.org. George Walker here with Sylvia McNair talking about opera on WFIU, opera in her own career as she's developed. And in just a little bit, we're actually going to be playing a little music from one of the roles that Sylvia graced the IU Opera Theater stage with. As she would tell you, back shortly after...
let's just say 28 years ago. Keep it clean.
We were talking a little bit about some of the other opera roles that you've done in the past, and you're getting together with Ms. Colbert in terms of management. In terms of a young singer getting out there, how important is management?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's very hard to get the best auditions, even. Imagine that. It's very hard to get the best auditions without a great manager. So you really need somebody in your corner fighting for you. And of course, it's impossible to get top-line work without a manager who believes in you and a manager who works for you. So I was just very, very, very lucky that Ann Colbert, you know, spotted me and decided that she would like to add me to her roster. And she worked very, very hard for me. So I wish the same great luck for all of our very talented singers now.
Now, how does a manager work for you? I mean, did she suggest role? Did she suggest artistic things, or was the business things that she was suggesting? What sorts of things?
Yes, to both. But a valuable manager is someone who has built up many good relationships over a long period of time, so that he or she is someone that. He or she is someone whose phone calls get taken, whose phone calls get answered. She had access to the director of the Deutsche Oper in Berlin, and I was in there. I was in that opera house within a year, and she had access to the directors of all the great opera houses in the world, and the executive directors and the artistic directors of the great symphony orchestras all over the world. Because for decades, I mean, in the early 80s, she'd probably been at that job for a good 40 years. I think she came to the United States when Europe became a very inhospitable place for her to stay back in the 1930s. So she had been at this for a long, long time, and there's nothing like the strength of shared history and long relationships when it comes to a manager's ability to open doors and get a young singer those very early important opportunities. She was amazing.
You know, when you talk about shared experiences, long-term relationships, WFIU, we just celebrated our 60th birthday.
I know!
Was that ever cool?
That is so cool, and I'm so proud of the fact that I was on the staff here 30 years ago when you were only half as old as you are now. Isn't that great?
You do like to play with numbers, don't you? 1-800-662-3311 or 855-0811, WFIU.org. National Public Radio is getting ready to celebrate the 40th anniversary of things like All Things Considered, and WFIU was a flagship for that.
Is that true, George?
We
I think that's very
that
cool.
Began with that.
Very cool.
So really, one of the things that's kind of neat about having worked for WFIU is it really is just one of the best national public radio stations in the country.
Absolutely.
With a technical staff that other stations actually, you talk about contacts and knowing to who to call for Ann Colbert. Mm. Well, people call John Shelton when they have questions about radio, and he'll get calls from Illinois and Ohio and New Jersey. How are you doing such and such? Or does this work that way?
Well, then we should be breaking our arms, patting ourselves on the backs.
right.
Good for WFIU.
And encouraging people to make the break for the telephone. 1-800-662-3311.
And if we get one caller, we will shut up and play more music.
Oh, of course. 855-0811 or WFIU.org. And they'll let us know, by the way, if you're sneaking around on our website.
We can see your name up here on our computers. We know who's donating.
A little earlier, we were talking about Joan Sutherland, and we do have a two-CD set, The Art of the Prima Donna, Music of Joan Sutherland, and that's available as a thank you during the WFIU Fund Drive, a singer that knocked both of us out and that you actually got to meet through your connection there with Ann Colbert, so that's kind of a neat thing. 5 minutes now before 2. Listeners are listening to member-supported public radio, and that's WFIU Bloomington, with transmitter in Bloomington, translators in Columbus, French Lick, West Baden, Greensburg, Kokomo, and Terre Haute. And the forecast for this evening is for mostly clear skies, lows in the upper 20s, Sunday, sunny, high in the upper 50s. And it's actually going to warm up a little bit as the week goes on, as we continue to have what people are describing as a mild, dry fall. Coming up, more music for you. We'll be talking a little bit more, and we'll be encouraging you to join us at 1-800-662-3311 or 855-0811, WFIU.org. By the way, if you have a question for Sylvia, or even less likely, a question for me, pass that on. We'd be delighted to chat that up for you. One of the sad things that happened this past week was the death of Shirley Verrett. And Shirley Verrett, 79, a pioneer in many ways in music. Wondered if you were thinking a little bit about her this afternoon also.
Well, I just got an email this morning letting me know that she passed away yesterday morning. I think she was on the faculty at the University of Michigan. I'm not sure, she may have retired, but in any case, the email notification came to me, at least, via Marietta Simpson, one of my dearest, dearest friends here in Bloomington, and it came to her from the University of Michigan. So in any case, are we able to listen to Shirley Verrett singing something?
Yeah. Let's give people the phone number and play some Shirley Verrett. 1-800-662-3311 or 855-0811, WFIU.org. Shirley Verrett, singing music from Verdi's Don Carlo. George Walker here with Sylvia McNair for you during the WFIU Fund Drive. Sylvia, you actually invoked the name of another singer when you described that particular voice. You actually said, "What a horn."
Yeah, I meant H-O-R-N. What an amazing voice. Oh, my goodness. I just, my jaw is on the desktop here. I'm so impressed by that kind of singing and that vocal stamina and the color and the strength and the power. It's just, wow. And as you just mentioned, she passed away yesterday morning.
79. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that comes from a CD called Verdi Classics. You're listening to opera here on WFIU on a Saturday afternoon. Lovely afternoon. We're having a good time talking a little bit about Sylvia, about her career at Indiana University, both in the opera department and then later as she moved on into the professional world. And we're touching on the fact that at this point, she's actually doing a little bit, we have Sylvia in a transition phase. Not that she hasn't always been transitioning as she moves actually back in some ways, in addition to forward in terms of musical selection and things that she's been working on. By the way, there's an exclusive 2-CD set featuring performances from some of IU's finest musicians, cellist Janusz Starker, pianist Menachem Pressler, Jeremy Denk, Joseph Gingold, violinist Joshua Bell, and also Sylvia has a couple of things in there as well. And there's a coffee table book that really represents a lot of study. I learned an awful lot from it. 300 photos and drawings from seasons at the IU Opera Theater. It's one of the thank yous during the fund drive. And you actually can find a couple of, I have to say that your face is a little small, actually, in the pictures that I saw.
Oh, but my body was so much bigger.
Oh, come on now. No Rigoletto jokes.
No, it's a beautiful book. It's a beautiful book that the Jacobs School of Music has just released, Opera for All Seasons, documenting the decades of incredible opera productions that have taken place on the stage at the MAC. And there are even some photographs in the book from the productions that took place before the MAC existed.
Back when they had East Hall out mm-hmm. there.
And there are even some photographs in this book. I couldn't believe it. There was apparently, back in the early 60s, a performance of Aida at the football stadium. There are photographs in the book to prove that. It's
yes.
almost worth it just for those photos.
They used to actually perform outdoors one summer. They would do one summer production outdoors. And WFIU's Don Glass, who's the voice that people hear on A Moment of Science and who helps us out with Car Talk on fun drives, Don was a graduate student, and he was one of the chorus of Aida. And the director...
In that football stadium
yes.
performance? Well, I'm going yes. to find that picture and see if I can find Don Glass.
And the director was somewhat frustrated with the student participation. He just wasn't getting what he wanted. And in absolute frustration, Hans Busch said, "Couldn't you act more Egyptian?"
Sure.
So those things really did happen, and you can find documents of it in a book that's available, Opera for All Seasons, as a thank you during the WFIU Fund Drive.
Here it is. The Aida took place in July and August of 1963. The outdoor production at the Memorial Stadium. Can you even believe it? There are thousands of people in this cast. I don't know that I'm going to be able to find Don Glass.
It was in the old football stadium, the stadium where the movie about bicycling was produced, Breaking Away, and it's now the Arboretum there on 10th Street when they built a new stadium and eventually simply tore down the old stadium and plowed up the whole area and planted trees and grass and put a pond in and things like that. One of the stories, and that's one of the stories that we have for you this afternoon. By the way, Peter Jacoby, the music critic for the Herald Times, has pledged that he will add $10 to every call, to every pledge. And right now we need one or two calls because we're getting ready to play music from a role that Sylvia McNair actually graced the IU Opera stage with.
Graced or crashed, I'm not sure.
And it's available on a CD with Sylvia being conducted by Neville Mariner, and it's music from The Abduction from the Seraglio. Any particular memories about that particular production?
Mm-hmm. Many memories. Andrew Porter, remember him, George, from
yes.
the New Yorker magazine? He came to Bloomington to be the stage director for the Abduction from the Seraglio production that we did in January and February of 1982. Andrew Porter had written the newest, hottest, latest, greatest English translation of that piece. And in those days, we were doing all the operas here in English. I was cast in the role of Constanza. I was in miles over my head, didn't have a clue how to survive. I just thought, I'm going to open my mouth and sing as loud as I can and hope I don't fall over. But that was the period, you may recall, when Leonard Bernstein and his entourage were here in Bloomington while Lenny and Stephen and the whole crowd were composing the sequel to Trouble in Tahiti, which became known as A Quiet Place. They were here in residence in Bloomington to get away from New York, to get away from all the chaos and all the distraction in New York. They came to Bloomington because of Leonard Bernstein's fantastic relationship with Charles Webb and the entire Webb family, actually. So they were here while we were performing The Abduction from the Seraglio, and Lenny Bernstein came to one of the performances that I happened to be singing. Virginia Zeanni, who was my voice teacher at the time, threw a dinner party at her house after the opening night as a cast party. And when I entered the house, Lenny Bernstein was seated in a chair right by the front door of Virginia Zeanni and Nicola Rossi-Lamini's house. And he grabbed my neck and pulled my head down to the level where he was, whether his head was seated. And he French kissed me and said, "Honey, you don't even know how good you are." And I can honestly tell the story, and I have many, many times, that I was French kissed by Leonard Bernstein after the opening night of The Abduction from the Seraglio here in Bloomington. What a night it was.
We'd like to thank people who've called and pledged during the WFIU Fund Drive, and I hope you're getting a kick out of this afternoon if you've already called and pledged. And I hope that perhaps you'll give us a little
that
more time.
That story deserves 10 pledges at least. That just came up on the computer screen. Well, if you think that's good, I've got a lot more if you'll pledge to WFIU.
Well, we can thank Linda Butler and Keith and Ruth Barnhart, and they actually pledged before you told the story.
That's right.
We're not going to,
Not going to repeat such a blue story.
Well, I don't know.
If it got 10 pledges, I would repeat the story.
1-800-662-3311, 855-0811, or WFIU.org. And we're going to actually play a recording that Sylvia made of some of the music that led Leonard Bernstein to one, say, "You don't know how good you are, honey." And two,
to French kiss me at Virginia Zeanni's front door. And if you're not scared now, you sure should be. Oh, my goodness, George. Oh, my goodness. That aria will bring any soprano to her knees begging for mercy. It's called Martin aller Arten from Mozart's The Abduction from the Seraglio, Constanze's big screaming match at the man who's holding her captive, keeping her as a slave or as a trophy or we're not quite sure what, but she is not happy. I just remembered another story. You asked me about stories. Do I remember about the final opera production that I did when I was a student here? And I also remember that in that production, Andrew Porter was the stage director. He had written the new English translation. Brian Balquill was conducting the orchestra. No, I lie. I lie. I lie. I lie. Thomas Baltner was conducting the orchestra. Yes, of course, that's the point of this story. And Andrew Porter was begging me, standing in the wings, begging me to take a big, long, high C as the final note, rather than what Mozart wrote in the score, which is the lower C, the one you just heard. And Andrew Porter and Tomas Baldner had been arguing about this for days, maybe weeks, I don't know. So here I was, a little graduate student, powerless, 25-year-old, trying to please everybody and be a good kid, torn between a conductor who said one thing and a stage director who said the opposite. Maestro wanted the low C, the director wanted the high C. So what to do? And I'm torn. I mean, I'm just in the middle of this dilemma. So with Andrew Porter standing in the wings, he was technically a few feet closer to me than Maestro was. So I took the high C at the end of Martin Allerarten and held it as long as I could. And I have a vision in my mind right this minute of Andrew Porter standing in the wings, stage right, jumping up and down, going, yes, 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 because I had taken the high C. By the way, sopranos refer to the aria Martin Allerarten by the term Martin Fallaparten, because it is so crazy hard to sing.
Our guest is Sylvia McNair for you during the opera portion here. By the way, we're talking a little bit about Aida being performed outdoors at IU. And Norman and Lewis Miller recall that they were there and they distinctly remember a train rumbling by just a few streets away during the actual production.
Excellent.
1-800-662-3311, 855-0811, or wfiu.org. At one of the performances, one of the productions of The Abduction from the Seraglio, they were using a stage that would rotate, so the singers would do their particular thing, and then they would sort of move off and so on.
Or the stage would rotate and move them off.
Yes, yes. And during the dress rehearsal, it didn't happen during the performance, the person who was playing the keeper of the Seraglio, who's supposed to be drunk at this point, actually, as he was walking off, turned and looked at the set, and he loudly says, "It's moving! It's moving!"
Yeah.
Which brought the rehearsal crowd.
The plan.
Yes. Quite a few laughs there.
Okay, so let's get these phones ringing and get the pledges in for WFIU. And here are the numbers, George. I'm just going to take this, okay?
You got it.
1-800-662-3311 or 855-0811. If you love WFIU as much as we do, and you love all of the things that this edgy, fabulous, way ahead of its time radio station brings to all of you, please call in and pledge your love and your support and your money to keep it going. WFIU.org or 855-0811 or 1-800-662-3311. And I will answer any question you want me to answer. And that's a promise.
Joan Sutherland performing music from Faust by Gounod. And our guest Sylvia McNair not only went woo at the end, but also laughed in the middle. Sylvia?
How could she do it? How did she do that? How did she do that? I mean, there are just things that you can't teach and things that you can't learn. Sometimes you're just so phenomenally gifted that you can just do things. I giggled when she popped that high note It was like a little, just a little eighth note, almost staccato, and she just popped it out perfectly in tune. Just no fuss, just pop. It was amazing, amazing.
And that's one of the thank yous that we have during the WFIU Fun Drive. It's a two CD set, by the way, available as a thank you. We're moving along, and we're asking for really a call every time we get a chance to talk a little bit with Sylvia here, as we talked a little bit about her career at Indiana University, her first management with Ann Colbert, a little bit of some of her early career, both in Europe and in the United States. And we haven't talked really very much about some of the ups and downs as she thinks about really changing things a little bit in terms of the kind of music that she sings and in terms of some of the acting she's been doing. We'd like to hear a little bit about what's going on at the moment.
Okay, well, let's keep it brief because this is not about me. This is about getting money here for WFIU. After I logged my 20 years of opera, and it was 20 more years than I ever thought I'd get. Oh, goodness sakes, was it ever. And many of those 20 years were in incredible, incredible environments. There were periods there, long, long periods in the late 1980s and the entire decade of the 1990s and the early O's, where I was basically jumping from Salzburg to Vienna to Berlin to London, back to Vienna, up to Salzburg, Berlin, and then occasionally coming to New York and Chicago and San Francisco. And it was so much more than I ever even had the good sense to dream that I would get to experience, doing opera, doing all kinds of classical music with symphony orchestras, oratorios, art song recitals. And it was an amazing ride, and it's a ride that I treasure and value enormously. After I had about 20 years, well, exactly 20 years, that was something, a nice round number of 20, I decided that I was going to take that, put it in a beautiful box, put a gorgeous bow around it, put it up on the shelf, love it, honor it, and I was going to spend the next 20, I hope, 30 maybe, years of my singing life doing music that I've always loved. In fact, it was my first love when it comes to vocal music that I hadn't really the time or the space or the opportunity to do while I was so busy doing classical music. And that is, of course, the Great American Songbook, we call it, or music from the American Musical Theater. And so more and more I'm getting opportunities to do productions of musicals by Stephen Sondheim, Richard Rodgers. Last fall I did a Kurt Weill show in Baltimore and in Washington, D.C., and 19 songs by Kurt Weill. And last summer, we sang the opening night of the Ravinia Festival, the summer home of the Chicago Symphony, with a performance of Camelot. And I got to sing Guinevere opposite Rod Guilfrey and George Hearn, the Broadway legend George Hearn. So more and more, I'm getting opportunities to do my cabaret show, which I actually call my show Subject to Change, because as the subject of my own life, my life has changed. Some of those changes I have chosen. Some of those changes have not been my choice, but have been chosen for me by other people or by other circumstances. You know, and as I've grown older and more, a little tiny bit more mature, I hope, I realize that being able to handle change with a great sense of humor, without losing your faith, without you losing your love for friends and music, becomes very, very important. So I call my one-woman show Subject to Change because I am. And I talk about the fact that I spent 20 years doing opera, doing classical music, but now I'm doing this other thing and having a ball. And, you know, when I was listening, George, to that recording of Martin Allerarten from the Abduction from the Seraglio, the Mozart aria that we played that I did, I was having a literal physical reaction listening to that piece because it is so difficult. And I always felt unequal to the task when I had these very difficult Mozart arias, Mozart operas, all kinds of assignments in the classical music world. So often I felt unequal to the task. They were so good and so difficult, and I couldn't possibly do them the justice that they deserved. So I spent a lot of those 20 years, you know, walking the earth feeling tremendously inadequate to the task at hand, and sort of like maybe I was trying to do something that wasn't a perfect fit for me. A perfect fit for me. It just always, I was reaching and always feeling like I never quite got there. Now that I've decided to spend more time singing musical theater rep, I feel like I'm living in my own skin. I feel like my voice is doing what my voice was built to do. And it's deeply satisfying to be able to do that and to feel that way. It's a very happy thing. And I feel immensely blessed for all of the opportunities. Closing in on 30 years now of professional singing, I can't believe it. But I am just deeply grateful for every single opportunity.
Talking with our guest, Sylvia McNair, and we will be going back and playing some more opera. We'll also be sampling some other recordings as well. And we'll be talking a little bit about the WFIU Fund Drive. And the phone number is 1-800-662-3311, 855-0811, WFIU.org.
George, may I jump in here?
Yeah.
While you're inhaling?
Yeah.
Two things have come up on the computer that I would love to respond to. First of all, Gabriel Frommer has just phoned in to say that he's a longtime fan. Thank you, Gabriel. Wherever you are, in your car or in your home or online, thank you for calling in. I love your remembrances. It says here he heard Sylvia in a performance of Exultate Jubilate with David Schildkret conducting a pickup orchestra. Absolutely true. Here in Bloomington, that would have probably been in the late 70s or very early 80s. He also remembers Tibor Kozma conducting Don Giovanni and remembers Aida. He says, in fact, too many stories. He even remembers the very first WFIU fund drive. How about that? And then there's been a question here from Tim and Elma Jessen, who are here in Bloomington. They want to know what Sylvia's connection to conductor John Nelson is. They will see him in 2 weeks at a choir reunion. Well, I'd love to tell you what my connection to John Nelson is. I was hired to be a singer at the Aspen Summer Music Festival in 1979. I went to the Colorado Rocky Mountains and had a great summer. I was in one of the choirs that John Nelson was conducting, and he seemed to like my singing. He appointed me, I can't say hired because we were all slave labor as students, but he appointed me as the cover soprano for the Mozart Requiem, which Benita Valente was being brought to Aspen to perform, but I was her cover, so I got to have special rehearsals with the other cover soloists and got to know John Nelson a little bit. John at the time, of course, was the music director of the Indianapolis Symphony, which is just up the street a bit from Bloomington. And he was very, very generous to me and hired me over and over and over again to sing with the Indianapolis Symphony. My very first job with the ISO that John hired me for was to sing Bach cantata. Oh, gosh. What was the number on that? It was, I can't remember. It was a Bach cantata. The Indianapolis Symphony had a runout series to Columbus, Indiana in those days. And so I got to sing cantata 182, I'm going to say, I think was the number. Herz und Mut und Tat und Leben oder etwas wie so. I'm not sure. In any case, tell him I said hello. I hear he's up in Indy for a world premiere, which is being performed this weekend by the Indianapolis Children's Choir. So John and Anita Nelson are wonderful and valued friends. We've had a long, long, long history, shared history together. I ended up singing at the Metropolitan Opera, a Handel opera called Julius Caesar that John conducted. He didn't like my singing in that piece, unfortunately, so we had a bumpy few years following that. But I think we've mended the bridges, and I certainly do value John and Anita Nelson very, very much.
17 minutes now before 3 o'clock. Sylvia will be departing. She has another engagement up the road, and so she will be leaving in about 17 minutes. So if you have questions, please do call them in. Also, if you'd like to salute her presence here by calling in a pledge 1-800-662-3311 or 855-0811. WFIU.org is where you'll find us on the web.
WFIU is proud to welcome Sylvia McNair, internationally renowned vocalist, to the WFIU studios. McNair was an announcer at WFIU during her student years at the IU Jacobs School of Music and has since gone on to great things in the world of classical music and popular song. WFIU's George Walker spoke with her about many of her reminiscences of working at WFIU, as well as encounters with famous musicians like Shirley Verrett and Leonard Bernstein. As a thank you to those of you who have already pledged in this Fund Drive 2010, we're including this audio. And if you have yet to make a contribution, we hope that you will consider a donation to WFIU. You can find us on the web and make a donation at WFIU.org. And thank you.